You are connected. Zoom meeting. You're in a Zoom meeting. This may be because she's in Canada. I don't know. Why don't I wait here until 9 o'clock? Could you see that I closed the door to the outside?
No, what door to the outside?
That one, because I'm watering.
I didn't know where you were, but I didn't look there.
There is somebody joining.
Okay, that's Joe. That's Linda.
Okay, there you go. It is working.
Hello. Good morning.
Here you are. Come on.
Hi.
Welcome.
I just got the dog out for my little walk with, and I have a possible torn meniscus, so I'm taking it easy, but that's all right. Anyway, life is crazy. My younger son is here packing up a pod, taking all our stuff that we, and we are downsizing, and he's buying a house. So
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So a lot cooking.
Is she, are you leaving the area?
No, we're going out to Birchwoods in Ashburn. We're over 55 community. So,
hi, Susan.
Hello, Susan. Good morning.
Sorry for your loss.
I'm sorry about your John's and your loss.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Good morning.
Are you morning. Here or are you in Canada?
Pardon?
Are you, Canada Tara, are you here or are you in Canada?
I came back Tuesday morning.
So they let you in and they let you in.
See you later.
It was quite complicated. And only because John's Canadian, and it was still quite complicated.
Huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're still not letting Americans in on.
No.
My husband's been trying to get there. He goes twice a year to fish, and he's desperate to go.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No tourists.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. No tourists.
No tourists.
And even, yeah, sorry. Even for this, it was terribly complicated.
I didn't have very much time to arrange it either. So.
No, and their quote emergency procedures are anything but emergent. Their definition of emergency and mine definitely don't match. I think I was tested after being vaccinated, I was tested for COVID 4 times in 9 days.
Wow.
Whoa. Well, given some people are testing positive, apparently ball players are getting COVID after being vaccinated. So.
Yeah, it was, I think it was one of the New York Yankees or New York Mets teams that 5 or 6 people were.
But they just said a couple of people on the Nats, somebody on the Nats tested positive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, it was just in today's paper.
And I heard it last night.
I mean, the good thing for those of us who've had our shots is the people who are testing positive are asymptomatic. They're not getting sick. They're just capable of passing it on.
Well, that's
testing positive also doesn't mean they're passing it on.
Right. I don't know if you can pass it on. Right.
Okay.
And we're not getting any information as to why they're testing positive.
No.
So anyway. Huh. let's just sit together for a moment or two before I ramble a little, before I ruminate a little. So it's wonderful to gather, find yourself, center yourself where you are right now. Just settle into where you're sitting. Allow your breath just to find its own rhythm. Recognize the thoughts that might arise that would pull you out of being present right in this moment. See them perhaps as wisps that might dissipate or just be set aside for later. Attention to the sensations in your body. Just note how this morning is for you. Different from an hour ago, or from yesterday, or from what tomorrow will be. So nice to see all of you.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
It's nice to have you back.
So I'm starting this morning thinking about metamorphosis and change. It's going to go somewhere else too, but like, who's watching the cicadas? Everybody's watching the cicadas, right? So it's this crazy, unbelievable cycle. Kind of disgusting and fascinating all at the same time. But think about it, like insects that wait for 17 years. And then, right, for the however number of weeks we've got ahead of us, they'll emerge, our neighborhoods, our woods, we're gonna have to hear all the mating calls. I haven't heard anything yet. Hundreds of eggs laid, right? And then the adult cicadas die when the eggs hatch. In case you haven't read about this cycle, right? The new baby cicadas fall from the trees, they go back onto the ground for another 17 years. The cicadas might be gross and disgusting, but they're harmless, right? They might be annoying, they're harmless to us, they're even harmless to our gardens. And it's amazing, we see them as a brood, which does not have a nice implication, right? Brood X, it's this enormous entity. And I'm thinking about it, you'll see in a moment what made me think about it, right? There's all these individual cicadas, but we don't see them that way. We see them en masse, right? Even if we're like stepping over or on them, we're only paying attention to them en masse. This cycle of change and growth is a bit as en masse. So I think about how we might marvel at this 17-year cycle of patience, of truth, of life and death, of the ongoing nature of change and growth. And I think about like how to navigate this onslaught mindfully, because we've been inundated, right? You can have apps on your phone and the news, it's like a whole section of the news every day, the cicada news. And even the news is pushing us into a place of how we feel about it, rather than just watching the cycle. So just a little bit of thought of practice of mindfulness just in what is happening right now, like how to, without judgment, just be present to this amazing cycle, without the judgment of disgusting, without the judgment of it feels good or doesn't feel good, or we like it, or we're worried, or the sounds, or all of that, just to be present to this moment in nature and kind of curious about experiencing it, right? That is just a mindfulness practice all on its own. Because if we're paying attention, even and especially to things or experiences that we would otherwise judge, right? Disgusting, weird, smelly, uncomfortable, loud, like those are all judgment qualities that we are making. So how could, like just think about over these next few weeks to shift a perspective a little bit, to just try and be present with something we've decided is probably uncomfortable. But there's this amazing cycle that happens. And those are all, and it's all the qualities we try and avoid, right? So in our mindfulness practice, we're trying to just be with what is, so we can see it, so we can experience it rather than judging. And just like the cicadas that keep arising, like those qualities keep arising for us. So we have the opportunity of being present to this experience that's happening right now. But also, like we're seeing, the idea of seeing this experience as this en masse, right? The brood of cicadas has kind of an interesting, I don't know if it's a parallel in Torah this week. We're not recognizing each cicada. We're seeing the cicadas, but the opposite thing happens in Torah this week, not with cicadas. So towards the end of this week's Torah portion, Naso, which is the second portion in the book of Numbers, The Torah describes at great length the offerings of the tribal heads, of the Nisi'im, also translated sometimes as princes and also translated as president, like the Nasi is the head of the government. But the tribal heads, the Nisi'im, that they bring on the day that the tabernacle, the portable sanctuary that is following the Israel, going with the Israelites in the desert, is sanctified, is dedicated. And so there's a listing of what each tribal head brings on behalf of the tribes. But what's really interesting about it is that every tribal leader brings exactly the same thing, exactly the same set of offerings. And yet, the Torah describes The Torah describes each bringing, each it names the tribal head, and then it describes the offerings that are brought. Exactly the same, over and over and over again, 12 times. So we know that in Torah, every word or absence of a word is something that we pay attention to. The words of Torah are particular. Not necessarily specific, but just particular. So of course, the commentaries ask, why was it necessary to enumerate the same thing 12 times? Why did Torah just simply mention, here are the offerings that all the tribal heads brought, and say, like, everybody brought the same thing, right? Could be easy. And on top of that, each offering, each tribal leader brought their offerings on a different day. So they didn't even all bring them. It was the same thing day after day after day. So as we think about, if we think about what's happening here, I think perhaps first that God, Moses, has set this up so that there is an appreciation and attention to each individual leader by just granting each one his own day of offering, right? Each tribal offering and its leader gets their own glimmer of attention and acknowledgement. So for us, practicing mindfulness helps us pay attention. We have to pay attention to what's happening in ourselves, to the value of each human being, of each interaction that we have, of each cicada that's out there, right? We're called to pay attention, to give time, attention, love to our friends, our families, our coworkers, to fellow human beings, to the creatures and experience of nature. The appreciation and attention that each being, each experience needs, whether it's extraordinary or just plain. Because our attention to something validates that the existence of that moment, of that person, of that experience. In people, when we pay attention, you know, Martin Buber talks about this in his theological understanding of God, that we have a lot of utilitarian interactions with people, but we have the possibility, if we're really present in the moment, for God to be present even in that interaction. So, like, from the person who helps us bag our groceries to the nurse who swabs my nose over and over again, right? Or draws blood, or the bus driver that wears a mask all day long driving and gets us home safely. Like, every person, if we are attentive to, like, each moment, to each person, to each offering, just like the tribal leaders who receive their own recognition and moment from God. So first, I see this call to us, as God is recognizing each tribal leader, like we can offer that acknowledgement in our attentiveness, in our time, in our interactions. And a practice of mindfulness helps us be in that moment, right? We're not just running from thing to thing, but we're present with each step we take. Our practice can aid us, can guide us, and pay attention to give us more clarity, to experience each moment, each notion that arises within us, each thing that we do that says that each individual, each action has its attention, has its worth. And then I'm thinking also about the tribal leader's same offerings, right? This exact same offering. So if it wasn't all brought at once, or if it's enumerated to us that each, the same thing, but each offering over and over again, then perhaps it's not about the offering itself, the content of what was brought, but the fact of the, but the sort of the, not just the person behind it, but the message, the purpose behind it, right? It's not the content of it, but the fact that each tribal leader brought this, that what, and what are they doing? What are they bringing when they bring this? What are they offering? They're offering on behalf of their tribe, right? Their connection to the community, their connection to God, right? The, it's the message behind what they're bringing. And so in that sense, it has to be separate because each message, each intention is separate. So that the message behind the offerings, it's like the flowers on my dining room table. Each week, right? The flowers that are on my dining room table come from bigger choices, right? Large supply of flowers that everybody has access to buy. The ones that are in my vase are the same beautiful roses or irises that anyone else can buy. But when I look at them, they're special to me because it's John's message to me, right? He loves me. We're readying ourselves and our table for Shabbat. It's not about the flowers. It's about the message. It's about the message behind the gift or the offering. When communities, when family and friends pay a Shiva call, right? It's not about the food they bring or even the note they write after, which is all meaningful, but it's about the message of that offering because the food is the food. It's saying, we're going to be there for you, right? We're by your side. That's the underlying message. That's the purpose of the offering. And so that's unique. That's unique in every single one, every single moment. So the offerings of the Israelites don't need to be unique and extravagant because it is about the quality of the message in their offering, in our attentiveness that matters, right? Not about presence, but about presence. Mm-hmm. So all of this paying attention, right? What gives us, what could give us capacity to pay closer attention, to know our own worth, to be present and to offer presence. I mean, there's many things we could draw upon. There's trust in one another. There's trust in God. There's gratitude. There's patience. There's all the qualities that we talk about, that we draw upon in different measures at different times. And so in a practice of sitting, in the consciousness that we take into our day and our week ahead, we have the opportunity to just be more awake, to be more alert. The book of Numbers is the wilderness, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, into the wilderness. Like that's where we are in our Torah cycle again. Each year when we come around to this, right? Wandering in the wilderness, continuing our journey. How can we just be present with what is right now? Because we might want to run out of the wilderness. We might be tired of the wilderness. We don't want the discomforts of the wilderness, the unknowns of the wilderness. But the wilderness is also an open slate, right? It's not defined. It's undefined, which means that it contains possibility. It's also a place of openness, of dreaming, of movement. We don't stay still there either. There's a beautiful midrash from Song of Songs, a midrash on the book of Song of Songs about the wilderness. It says, Rav Barachia said, this is the verse that was spoken by the wilderness. The wilderness said, So it's based on the Song of Songs verse, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. I am wilderness and I am beloved. He writes, for all the good things in the world are hidden in me. As it is said in quote from Isaiah, I will plant cedars and acacias in the wilderness. And then Rabbi Barachia goes on, God gave them to me in trust, and when God asks them of me, I will return the trust in full, and I will become full of sap with good deeds, and I will sing in God's presence. The wilderness is beloved. So, as we're, in a sense, not just like in our, like in our historical cycle in the wilderness, but I think all the latest news and declarations are actually putting us maybe a little bit more in the wilderness right now, because we're not really sure what to do. We thought, you know, we might think we know, but it's more complicated. We are still wandering. And in our Jewish time in this year, like, wilderness is both a time of barrenness and a time of growth. So my trajectory for this morning is like noticing this deep metamorphosis and cycle of change, to not only take in the magnitude of that mystery, but to actually, like Torah, notice the individuality of each moment, of each offering. Not to just look at the surface of what's there, but to look under at the message, to try and be more open ourselves in our practice, in a noticing, to notice more of what's underlying the things that we encounter, the underlying message. So I don't know if you have any comments. I'm going to sit again. I'm going to walk us through a little bit of a mindfulness practice of acknowledgement. I don't know if anybody had any thoughts they wanted to share first. So refind your comfortable seat. You might have been sitting forward, leaning funny. Just find a place of comfort. You can sit, eyes open or closed, or soft closed. And feel your body settle.
Sorry.
See if you can notice sort of where you're being supported as you sit, where your points of balance might be. Sort of shift around so you can feel gravity support you. Not quite burrowing back into the earth as the new cicadas will do, but find that place of grounding in your body. Where do you notice it? Now allow your breath to just be easy. Don't try to control it or shape it. Just allow it to move at its own rhythm. See if you can be alert to the breath, grounded and present. Be kind with yourself if you're feeling you have spilkes right now instead. Just see if then you can just return to just paying attention to your breath. And at any time when your mind wanders, when you catch it, when you notice it, you can smile inside. Know that is our human tendency. And with a breath, just return to your sitting, to your posture, to your breathing. As the breath continues to move, notice your state of mind right in this moment. The tone of your mood, how you are feeling just right now. And see if you can simply notice that without going down the path of judgment, of good or bad, should or could, just what is true right now. And now I invite you to notice consider for what you have that brings you gratitude in this moment. Don't work hard to find it. It might be abundant, it might be scarce in this moment. But see if you can call to mind gratitude for people or circumstances that just let you be here in this moment. The unique being that you are, consider gratitude for what health of mind and body you have in this moment. can you experience gratitude for that degree of health of mind and body? Men, now take note of your particular talents and skills. Other people may have them as well, but that doesn't matter. Your uniqueness in the large brood of humanity is your gift, the message behind your offering to your loved ones, to our community, to our world. Find gratitude for those gifts that you have, why you bring them, why you share them. A moment of appreciation for yourself and who you are and your intention. And if you find that difficult or challenging or feel caught up in the web of ego, just raise up your talents to look at them, to notice them, to see them for what they are. Without judgment, just honor them as you would in someone else. You can return your attention to your breath at any time. To notice and appreciate the uniqueness of every breath. The symbiotic relationship we have with the earth around us. As air flows and spirit flows, relaxing our bodies and our minds into the abundance of this moment. Air, water, earth. Just being in this moment. we share of ourselves because we desire connection. The acknowledgement of one another perpetuates the cycle of connection. It feeds it. It's not ego when we want to be seen by another. It's the desire for connection and humanity. The gifts of who each of us are and what we bring. The message, the intention behind what we bring is to connect us one to another. That we might serve a greater divine purpose in our lives that connects us to the world around us. In your breath, see if you can allow yourself in this one moment to feel received. Every life contains times of metamorphosis. Every person needs moments of acknowledgement and validation. So may you notice the broods of cicadas perhaps a little differently. Each little cicada doing its job. May you find moments of renewal, of the validation that you deserve as a human being, so that you know that your offerings, your intentions are received and are valued. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Susan. You too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have you guys take week. Care. Give our
Bye.
Best.
Yes, definitely.
See sure. everyone next week.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.